First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 23rd, 2012. Greater in Love.
John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you.
You can see on the slides, the theme for our reflection this morning on John chapter 1, verse 14 is greater in love. If you look at the balance of John chapter 1, we've been preaching through this book, so this was a couple months ago when we went through here. The introduction section in this book, from here to the end of verse 18, John 1, 1 through 18, show to us John's theme. Who is John talking about as John talks about, well, his best friend? We begin in this book by Jesus being described, being defined as the one who is the Word, the everlasting communication from God to us. Then we see this next John, who then came as the promised one who is going to come ahead and announce him. Then we continue to see the disciple writing here about this Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there's a lot of descriptions about Jesus, a lot of comments. The Bible writer, John the Apostle, John the Baptizer, these people are writing notes. And glory is what we take a moment to focus on here. When we look around the world, something that everyone would like to say is, I wish God was respected more. I wish Jesus was appreciated more. I wish people thought of, reflected on, and considered the words of Jesus more. And this begins some of the thought that our writer here is saying, because he describes the glory of the Word. We have beheld His glory, honor, majesty, respect. We generally say it's earned. If you want respect, it needs to be earned. If you want to have a position, it needs to be earned. Very few of us are royal and are born into positions that come with care and respect and provision. But Jesus Himself was born into a position that was deserved. And one of the aspects of the Bible, but John, this gospel in particular, is to reflect on the words of the baptizer and the apostle, who are describing to us the glory that Jesus had, and they don't want us to miss it. So often in the world around us, we miss very simple things. That's the video we showed with our children today. Don't miss the simple things. What is it about Jesus that stands out? How did Jesus connect with Scripture? What was Jesus' role in the world, in a world that is ungrateful? This verse talks to us about the Word becoming flesh. Here, this term became a special meaning here. For example, when you think about the Bible, you think about that story, you know, Lot's wife, what happened to her? Well, you know, she turned and she became that pillar of salt. When she became that pillar of salt, she essentially stopped being Lot's wife. Lot lost his wife. However, in that same story, Lot also became a father. When Lot became a father, he didn't stop becoming who he was. He added something to his description. Jesus, in this way, became flesh. He remained God, remained divine when He took on humanity. He was the unique one. This is part of the glory that Jesus has that the two Johns don't want us to miss. When our Bible talks to us, if you have your King James Bible, New King James Bible, talking about that only begotten, this is the idea of the phrase only begotten. The root idea of this is that He is unique. He stands out among all the universe. Jesus, who was divine to begin with, took on human nature, united together in one person without being fused. Really, that means the idea of confused. that they negatively affected each other, diluting one another. Jesus was one person with two natures. And you can go out and tell people that you can describe the hypostatic union to them. Book in term in some of your theology books. That's what this means. Jesus was uniquely divine and human. One of the great discussions of the early church is, who is Jesus? Did Jesus stop being God? Did Jesus stop being God for a while? How long was Jesus a man? Was that just a deception or a trick? No, no. The Bible tells us that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. How? In his life, he lived among us so we could see God in the flesh. After his death and resurrection, he showed the value of that death as having eternal, inestimable power, because the death of the divine God for us has an enormous amount of influence in our life, in eternity, and in the tremendous future that awaits us. This unique one, when we want to see what God is like, we can look and see Jesus. Luke chapter 15 is perhaps one of the greatest chapters in your Bible. Why? Remember, Jesus came later on in John chapter 1. It will say that the only begotten Son, this unique Son, who is in the bosom, very close to the Father, he has declared him, he has revealed him, he has explained him to us. So often, I don't know about you, I get frustrated when I read the newspapers, read commentaries, read things in the magazines, and they will talk about the New Testament God being one of compassion and the Old Testament God being one of judgment. And people don't read their Bibles very carefully, because God wanted to go out of his way to let us know what he was like. So he sent us Jesus. And in Luke chapter 15, what does Jesus do? He tells a story of someone that has 100 sheep and loses one and left the 99 to find the one. A woman who had 10 coins lost one, left the 9 to hunt for the one. A man with 2 sons, one left. And he greeted the one who left when he returned with great compassion. The point of this story is that God seeks us. God wants to know us. God has gone the extra mile, yes, knowing that we don't seek him on our own. That's the big story of Romans chapter 3. No one seeks God. If someone begins to stir and show an interest, it's a sign that God is moving in them, that God is working in their heart. God is speaking to them, calling to them, and they are thinking and reflecting about him. So Jesus came to dwell among us so that we would have a chance to see, to learn, to understand what God is like. The idea between in these phrases that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us is that even though Jesus has permanently assumed human nature, he does not permanently remain in humanity's weakened condition. The words of Jesus on the cross, "I thirst." The Bible tells stories when Jesus was traveling, he hungered. When he was exhausted, he would leave the disciples, go and have quiet reflection, rest and pray. It's difficult to be a person sometimes because we get tired, we get stressed. When I got back from driving over and back over the hill the other day, I went to bed and slept for 9 hours. I don't really sleep all that long at night just because it's the way I am, but I was wiped out. And I didn't do anything but drive a car. Yeah, it was stressful. My children were very quiet on the way back because they wanted to live on the way home. Not from what Father would do, well, perhaps with that, but because of what was around us. Jesus didn't perpetually remain in that weakened condition of having an unredeemed body. But the Bible tells us, and that's the phrase, you'll see that because that's really what this is talking about, that he became flesh. Is the idea there in verse 14 that he pitched his tent, dwelt among us, is the same terminology, word picture, that sometimes has been used for the tabernacle when it is seen as a mobile tent that would move from place to place. Jesus is seen as the presence of God for a brief period of time, having a temporary time with us, so we could learn, so we could see why, again, to let us see his glory. So when you think of Jesus, what glory should we be seeing? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, characterized by grace and truth. When you think of what Jesus is like, this is what Jesus came to tell us and to show us is that Jesus is characterized as grace and truth. Because he came to us as the one who was with the Father, face to face with the Father, if you would, who did and thought what he did. This kind of character on display shows us the majesty, the power, and the place of God. Jesus' grace is seen, especially as when he spoke. As he spoke of grace, God's unmerited favor, come unto me and I will give you rest. Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. And he speaks of truth when he himself comes as the reality to show the way things really are. You have heard it said, but I say unto you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have come, he says in Matthew, to bear witness of the truth. But the danger for us is so often we overlook the very simple truths because we're looking for something much more complex. So often we make Christmas too hard, and so often we don't enjoy Christmas because of the things we let it do to us. But Christmas is about joy to the world, the Lord has come.